Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church. Okay, I can't finish it. That was a little
awesome.
Bit of a...
That's awesome. If you didn't listen to the last few episodes, you don't get the reference, but no. Well played for not being a robot in the beginning of every single episode.
So funny. You know, it's actually... This must be a personality thing in some sense, because for Christina and I, our marriage and parenting podcast, we've just celebrated 3 years. And it's funny because I do the intro on that one too, and I say the same thing.
And she doesn't mind. She loves you. She's used to, you were like, you know, my kids, you know, sometimes people, when I was younger, they call me Steady Eddie. Cause I wasn't that steady. I think they did it ironically. You're like Steady Daniel. It's like the same thing.
Well, and then Christina actually throws in something different. So I go, hey, you're listening to episode 120 of the 120. And then she'll do some sort of sound effect. And then I'll go of the in-between podcast. And then I just kind of go on from there. So she'll basically foreshadow a little bit of what we're going to be talking about through some sort of sound effect or reaction.
Yes, I like it.
So anyways, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about what may be an increasing situation as we move forward post-COVID. And it's that whole idea of, hey, as a church planter, or as a pastor, what if you inherit a building from a church that's closing down? What do you do? So before we even get there, why don't we just talk about why we think, or even some evidence or thoughts toward why
we think.
Yeah, do we think? Yeah, do we think? Yeah, that's right. That this would be actually an increasing scenario moving forward.
Yeah, it's interesting because all you got to do nowadays, if I were to say, matter of fact, someone will actually quote that, I would say Ed Stetzer says that 30,000 churches will close because of COVID. I'd be, you know, in the news the next day.
And then, you know, people reach out to me and they're like, hey, can you tell me where Ed said that?
Yeah. It's like, what?
And I was like, do you have Google?
Exactly. That's so true. That's so funny. Yeah. And of course, I don't know. Nobody knows. You know, and churches are hard to kill. But I do think that
condone killing churches.
Exactly. The last time we did the study, what was it, 2017? And there were, you know, about 3,700 church closures in the U.S. Right. We didn't do the Canadian. Canada wasn't in that sample because there's different reporting mechanisms. But 3,700 closed, a little over 4,000 started. My guess is those numbers would be different now. I think it's kind of like, you know, after Katrina, Bill Day at the Level Center did a research on churches that closed, and there wasn't clarity who was open and closed for a long time. And I think ultimately we're going to see something similar here. So my guess is you're going to see a significant acceleration in the pattern of church closures. But, you know, saying things like 30, 40,000, that's not going to be helpful to people. You know, depending on how you count, there are over 300,000 churches in the United States. I don't think 10% of the churches are going to close over this. But I do think, we saw in March and April, we did that one study. I think it was 6% said they were in danger of closing. But that was a convenience sample. It's, long story short, it's hard to tell. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw doubling, tripling of the church closures, at least for a couple of years out of COVID.
Well, okay. So I appreciate how you brought up that state of church planning research, right? The 4,000.
Like how I worked that in there.
Right? The 4,000 open, 3,700 closed. And then even what, the 10 years prior to that, when it was done before, it was similar. It was better this time around.
It was 3,500. So the closures went up by 200. Yeah.
Yeah. But what's interesting is you're right. I wonder what that would be in the year 2020. Right? Because obviously there, I had friends and I've heard of, I heard of many churches being planted, but I heard way more stories of churches postponing their start date than being planted.
That's true. The church planning side, for sure. You know, and of course, we still don't know, but I would say that you got to expect a substantial hit to church planning because, I mean, just the pausing, right? So how many people, like, you know, even people, you know, doing different things financially, they, you know, put off this or that until after there was more clarity on the pandemic, mm-hmm. you know, and then, so it'll be interesting to see, because I mean, schools are not open to a lot of people, theaters. Oh, yeah. I mean, so many places, and in our research, we found that I think schools was number one and theaters was number two. And so the number one and number two places where churches met,
yeah.
is not functionally right. available to them. So it'd be interesting to see. We don't know now, but it takes a little time to kind of get that information. But yeah. man, it's gonna be a big deal.
Okay, so let's say that's the case. Yeah. And
so less church plants and more church closures, I would think.
Mm-hmm. And so then in light of that, let's say, okay, a church planter or a pastor who's planting a campus from their church and you know they're continuing to pray. Their multiplication efforts stalled during COVID, but as COVID is prayerfully coming to an end, you know, there's this side of, okay, hey, actually, there's a church closing down and they're offering us their building. How do you even start that? Or even step before that? I mean, what do you do to position yourself to be in a place where you could even receive a building as a church planter?
So I mean, here it's a blessing, it's a possible bane, it's 100 different things, you know. Yeah. So let's think through some of the realities and the options here. First, if a building's given, we're going to assume that includes no strings attached. Mm-hmm. And because you know, the strings can be significant, and a lot of times, you know, it might be an established church that says, you know, why don't you come and be our pastor? And there are paths to do that. I'm not saying that's not impossible, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're not mm-hmm. talking about that dying church that says to the church planner, come be our pastor, because that's doable, but woof, that can be a fast and challenging time. Yeah.
Well, that's not church planning. So
yeah, well, but it could be, in a sense, like a church plant would be invited to merge with a smaller established church. Oh, yes. That happens a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, just so people are clear, we're talking about a church is closing and gives the building. Now, that you know, the churches that are closing are disproportionately mainline churches. So, you know, and mainline, that's actually a particular U.S. word, but think of more of that older denominations in Canada, would be the, you know, United Church and, you know, the Anglicans, or in the U.S. it would be the what we call the Sisters of Mainline Protestantism. So sometimes they'll give a church facility. They might not appreciate all that the evangelicals believe, but sometimes they're like, okay, we'll give them the church building anyway. The challenges can be a fewfold. First, that building could be connected to a reputation in the community. That's bad.
Yeah.
You have to check on that.
Yeah.
Second, the building, you might regret the amount of work that it takes, right? So it's sometimes easier to, you know, particularly when a church closes, it usually has years of deferred maintenance. And that could mean that the foundation is bad. That could mean that the boiler is bad. But it could mean none of those things, right? It could be that this church has been kept up. So what I would say is there's significant risk, but the upside can be good if the facility is appropriate for the size of the new church plant. Because yeah, keeping in mind, the typical church in the U.S. is under 100 in its attendance. And if it's under 100 in its attendance, then you know, the church building might be seating, you know, 100 people. The typical church plant passes 100 now in attendance after 4 years. So if you're getting a new building and you're 4 years old and you're already larger than that established church ever was, you might find that you're trying to put the foot in a shoe that is too small.
Yeah, that's interesting.
A bad building is worse than no building.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. So let's get back to that just super. But what I did want to say before we get back to that is, depending, you got to be aware of your the codes in your area and your city as well, building codes, because there are some that might be like, oh, you're, because of the deferred maintenance and you're looking at this building, you're like, man, if I just tear down this and I do this and I do this, and this is going to be incredible. But what you have to be aware of is sometimes when you do a percentage, like if you're changing a certain percentage of the building and doing upgrades and all that stuff, you actually might have to bring everything up to code. Whereas a lot of times you're grandfathered in and you're not, you don't have to update it if you're not changing the building around. So just to be aware of that.
People will literally think to themselves, they'll walk in and say, well, the other church had this set, but you are not the other church. Now there is a trick to do here, just so you know.
Yeah.
And that trick is to take on the legal identity of the closed church if it still exists.
Oh, interesting.
I've helped churches do that a few times. But basically, you know, there's this church and you become this church and you're doing business as, let's say the church is, you know, First Presbyterian Church of Waterford, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. There's a reason I say Waterford, because it was a connection that we did when I was planning a church. First Presbyterian Waterford, you then become DBA, and you just kind of make sure you legally, you know, again, I'm not telling you to break the rules. I'm telling you to follow the rules. But if you take on their incorporation and more and your people just join into that, then you can sometimes be grandfathered in. But even so, you want to bring your building up to, I mean, the reason codes exist for people's safety. It's not this willy-nilly list of terrible things that you have to do.
Yeah, for sure. Most codes.
There are some crazy ones.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, so let's go back to your statement then. When would it actually be a bane to the church plan's existence?
Well, I would say, first, if the facility is the wrong size and the wrong structure, I would say if the facility needs significant repair. I would say, too, you know, let's say, here's an example that has happened more than one occasion, where the denomination repossessed the building or the bank repossessed the building and then used it in another building, and everyone's mad about the fact that, you know, the bank repossessed it. Now, hey, you're here, or, you know, the denomination kicked out the congregation that was dying, and then you're like the bad guy for coming in and using that facility. So you just need to make sure that you do your homework here, because it can be a good thing. And I've seen a lot of, you know, that wonderful, you know, maybe a 200, 250 seat place, you can do a couple services in it, and it's got, you know, so there's good options. And I would say, too, you know, I still remember preaching last time I was in Louisville, preaching on Sunday was at Sojourn Church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love they've taken this, it was an old, I think it was a cathedral, an old Catholic cathedral, and redone it. But let me just tell you, a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money. They're a pretty large church, but a lot of money.
Yeah. the church that I was a pastor at in Montreal, we had bought a Catholic church building. And yeah, I mean, talk about maintenance and doing any sort of exterior work. Oh my goodness. Because it's this huge cathedral.
Or city permission and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And it's just the number of people who could, you know, fix stonework on a cathedral and make it look good compared to siding. Like, it's just completely different.
Yeah. I mean, so we just, Moody Church, you know, we had, the city comes in, and, you know, Moody Church, if you've seen the dome, it has tiles, all these little tiles that are attached to it to make it looks nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, tiles are a century old, and a couple of them fell.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah. And once it went, so basically we had to come in and put a, like a screw and a washer in every tile. And this is like, this is hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars, and took 6 months with these, you know, they were moving this around the sanctuary, and every Sunday we'd don't sit in this section because we got these huge scaffolds and more. And so this is what an old building does. And that's only a century old. There are some that are, you can get a 200 year old building spend all your money doing that. So I would just say that, remember that that's not your focus. Your focus is not a building. It's a church plant that it's connected to people. And if I would just remember that here's what happens over time. You know, people get, I call it rental fatigue. I think we talked about that in planning missional churches. Mm. There's this rental fatigue. We've been renting and setting up, tearing down every week for 5 years. And they see this building as the salvation. And it could very well be, but in a lot of cases, it's not.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to continue this conversation on episode 575. So be sure you're subscribed if you aren't already, and then the episode will come directly to you. All right. We'll catch you next time.